Anne Marie Hancock, where are you?
I am in Richmond, Virginia. That's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
But currently I'm at the beautiful Virginia Beach,
Ah.
just enjoying the waves.
Wasn't there? That's right. Virginia Beach. They had that horrible, horrible incident a couple weeks ago or a week or so
Yes.
ago. Yes.
Yes, they did. And everybody down here is still recuperating
I
from
bet.
that.
I bet.
Just a tremendous tragedy, it
Yeah.
would appear.
Yeah.
We're a nation that strayed from its heart.
Sounds like. Yeah, indeed. You can't drive your car to your own funeral. I know some people who have tried.
Do you really? They must be extraordinary.
Yeah, but they didn't succeed. So, what brought the idea for the book?
Well, the idea came from my journal, Ken. I kept a journal for 3 years while taking care of my mother, who was a nurse and had terminal cancer. Squamous cell cancer started as a dot on her face. This is a message for everybody. Refused to go to the doctor, and it ended up taking the side of her face. The cancer went to her brain. The cancer cracked her spine. And right up until the very end, my mom never one time said the word cancer. She said in the spring she was going to see a chiropractor. She saw a commercial on TV. She said, he's going to fix me. So in total denial about this cancer. Denial is a funny thing. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about stages of grieving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Mom never, ever moved out of that stage of denial right till the end. And she was enormously challenging. She did not, of course, want to go to a home. Who does?
Mm-hmm.
And so we allowed her to live in her own home. She wouldn't come and live with my husband and me. And so I went every day for 3 years with meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and took her to all her appointments, her CAT scans, her MRIs, and what have you. But the doctors would repeatedly tell me, as we had to change from one to another, that she was a piece of work. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
Mom loved her car. You talked about the book.
Right.
Well, the title is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because cars in dream interpretation and psychology take us to something or away from something. And Mom was totally independent and free in that automobile.
Mm-hmm.
She was a wow woman in her car. And so this one particular day, she wanted to visit with my son. I said, okay, Mom, I'll drive, and I will take you across town. And you drive like Moses. I said, Mom, when did you meet Moses? And you're not funny. You aren't funny now. You've never been funny. She proceeds to go across town, long story short.
Mm-hmm.
She runs through a major stoplight. I let that one go. She goes through the second at a major intersection. I said, Mama, I think you've gone through two stoplights now. She said, Anne, mind your own business. Your dad did it all the time.
Okay.
So she was very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking her to the doctor's one day, and we're driving down Charter Colony, a major place there in Richmond, Virginia, and she said, you're a moron.
Oh, my gosh.
What? I said, wait, well, Mom, what's going on? I pulled the car carefully to the side of the road. I just told you you're a moron. I said, Mama, mm-hmm. I was in Ireland 3 years ago researching our family name. It is spelled M-O-R-A-N, but it's pronounced moron. We are all in this Irish family moron.
Okay.
So she was a tough cookie.
Yeah.
Really a tough cookie. And we're going to the hospital. We finally arrive. I'm suggesting a way to go upstairs. And she said, I always go in the front door. I said, but there's no elevator there. And mind your business. I go one way, she went the other way. and Mom carried a cane with a sword in it.
Gosh.
And yep, she got it for Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
So I arrive on the top floor, and there's no Mama. And I'm starting to feel a little anxiety, and
uh-huh.
all of a sudden she appears. What the is wrong with everybody up here? Who in would put the cardiology department on the top floor? You people are morons.
Oh, jeez.
So this gives you a little sense of the challenge that Mama was.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say it's extremely important. I adored her. I loved her. Or I couldn't have taken care of her for 3 years and supported her, which I chose to do. So I kept the journal. That
uh-huh.
was my psychoanalysis. I'd look at it each night
uh-huh.
and have private conversations with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you saw it all, and I need some help. And between prayer and humor, I survived the journey and learned lots and lots of things about myself and lessons that I plan to take with me for a lifetime.
It sounds like your mom was, I almost want to say she was a free spirit, yes, but she was immensely entertaining.
You know, she was, and I think the key to caring for her over this period of time, you learn to laugh. You also learn, Ken, not uh-huh. to own everything that everyone says to you, and that includes your wonderful parents. Their intentions are good. They have stress. They have anxiety, just like the rest of us. And often, if you think about it, the people we target are the people that we love the most. And why? Because they'll take it. And Mom loved me, and I loved her. So I learned very quickly just to laugh at it all. The last 5 days of her life, I thought she might like to talk to the family priest mm-hmm. that she adored. And so I called him. And I said, Father Glass, would you do me a wonderful favor and call my mom and just chat with her and let her say whatever she wants to say. She's been a really closed shop, so to speak. He said, all right, Anne-Marie, he called her. He called me back in probably less than a minute.
Hmm.
And I said, what happened? I asked her how she was. She said, I'm terrific. I asked her if she wanted to chat or there was anything she wanted to talk about. And she said, what do I have to talk about? I don't sin at my age. I'm 88. And she hung up on him. So, once again, you see the humor. As you so beautifully pointed out, Ken, you have to smile about it.
Yeah.
And also pray. I mean, for me, I prayed that somewhere in space and time, Mom would talk to her maker or someone, anyone, and confide the fears that she had, because you know they exist. We are perpetually, every one of us, coming from either love or fear. Negativity, anxiety, attack, rage, anger is fear. The other emotion is love. And I always felt that the attacks on me were not personal. Mom was coming from fear. She was like a small child, terrified of dying.
Mm-hmm.
My father died somewhere in this process. He was a very athletic man, even played tennis at 88 years old, 3 times a week, and he had a heart attack. I believe it was the stress from Mom's diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you think, I mean, having all this happen to you, and you're a Christian, you're a God-fearing person.
I am.
But wouldn't this have you question God? I mean, wouldn't you want to shake your fist at God saying, why are you doing this to us?
You know, I am delighted you asked that question, because I believe firmly, always have, that God wants an intimate relationship with us. He's not somewhere up there and out there, but he is with us and in us. And I'll be candid with you, Ken. I talk to God as if he were, which he is, my best friend. I'll lay in that bed at night and say, Lord, you heard what she said to me. You saw it all. You can't make this stuff up. And I would pray, and I would feel a peace, a literal peace, come over me.
Hmm. Interesting.
So to say angry, I think maybe I dealt with anger issues when I was very young. My husband and I lost a little girl. Mm. And it was very early on in our marriage. And I think that was probably the time I questioned, where are you? How could you take this precious little child who has barely yet begun to live her life? What I realize now, reflecting, is that sometimes God needs people and these beautiful souls more than we do. And in the process, he allows us the opportunity to help others. I never dreamed that I would survive that. I did. There was joy that finally came in the morning. And I cannot tell you how many mothers who have felt so hopeless at the loss of a child, I have been able to help, to comfort, and to tell them that death is God's other door, and there is life, there is joy, there is peace that eventually comes. But for me, it all goes back to trusting my God. Mm-hmm. All goes back to trusting my God.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier that you learned a lot from the experiences with your mom. What did you learn?
You know, I think that probably for me personally, Ken, at the top of the list would be, we can't own everything everyone says to us. You're a public person. I did Hollywood interviews for NBC for years and traveled all over the world. And obviously, Ken, everybody isn't going to love us. And it's a bit stunning sometimes to be on the street when someone yells, you're an idiot, or I hate your hair. And it's funny, I was talking with someone about this just a couple days ago, and I said, why is it that 1,000 people can say, great show, great, I love you, that was the best, you inspired me, you lifted me up. And the one that we take home is the one that says, I hate your hair. Mm-hmm. That was awful.
You stink. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you stink. I know. I know what you're talking about. So
I know you do. We're human beings. I mean, this would be utopia if we didn't hurt and we didn't have feelings. But unfortunately, with what you do and what I've done most of my life, we're not afforded that luxury. You know, I give the example of my grandmother dying. I was very close to her, and the boss gave me a day to go to the funeral and come back. My face was swollen. I said, I don't think I can do this show today. I don't think I can. This is live TV. Look at me. And he said, Anne Marie, we are not paying you not to do the show. You need to get out there and perform. And so going back to lessons, we are not afforded the luxury so often to say what we feel because of the professions we've chosen.
Yeah.
But going much deeper, and this is where it really counts, we can't own everything everyone says to us because we will self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
And each day with Mom, as I said, was a challenge. And it was, I'm a moron, I'm an idiot. Oh, God, you brought chicken salad again. It's so boring. You're so slow. I could go home every night crawling along the sidewalk. I was so low.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I was able to see my mom and started seeing other people the same way. children of God who have forgotten who they are. And so they strike out, and I started questioning myself, why do we, all of us, own the negative things that people say to us? There is enough stuff in this world that we don't need to hang on to that. I take a look at it, maybe we all need to take a look at it and say, does this resonate? Does this feel right? And if it does, make changes. If it doesn't, then let it roll off your back like a duck's back. And so dealing with Mom really helped me. I was remembering, Ken, when we were, when I was younger, I started in television when I was 18, 19 years old. I was very blessed. And I can remember my mom, and this is not a criticism of my mom, please, it's just a fact. I can remember my mom saying, oh, you have a glamour hang-up. Everything with you is beauty pageants and TV and being out there. And it hurt. I mean, it really hurt, and I was constantly thinking, oh, I just have a glamour hang-up. So I walked for a brief time away from television, and I taught school. And I love children. I've already told you we lost a child. My husband and I are very involved in pediatric infusion and Noah's Children and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So I was honored as a teacher. And I remember one afternoon going over to the house and I said, Mom, look what the kids gave me today. If family can't celebrate you, no one can, right? And Mom said, Ann, you've always got to be in the spotlight. You're not a teacher. You were born to perform. I'll never know why you left TV. But there is a huge message in that. I walked away from what I loved, which was meeting people and engaging with people, using television to help people. I walked away from it, Ken, because my mom had told me I had a glamour hang-up. When I started examining it, and when the comment finally came about teaching, I thought, maybe it's time. It was a beginning for me. To decide and go deep within me, within my own heart, and find out what it is I have a passion for, what I love, and to just do it without input from anybody else. Who knows me better than me? Who knows you better than you? And so this was the biggest takeaway for me. And now, you know, people have a lot of motives for the things that they say. You know that, Ken. I know that, too. And we need to live our lives. This is a short journey back to God. And we need to live them passionately, with joy. We need to get up each morning and summon our gift of joy with total commitment and feel it and not let people take that from us. One thing for me that works, too, and it worked with Mama, I would visualize her. Some of your listeners may find it corny, but I would visualize her as a little girl. And then I could see the innocent woman, the innocent child, just embarking on the world without all the prejudices and the tragic things that had happened in her life. I had said a few minutes ago that life is a remembering and a forgetting, and we forget who we are, children of God. And I think that was the case with Mom. She became so frightened, so terrorized. Her personality was such that she couldn't open up. She couldn't share. She couldn't talk about her pain. And when I saw her as that small child, when I would say my prayers, I was capable of so much more love and compassion.
Anne Marie, I've got to wrap this up, and I wish I could talk for another half hour, and maybe we can at some future point in time, I would love to continue this, but I've got to let you go here. You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral is published by you, isn't it? Is this
published?
It's
published by Page
Publishing. Page Publishing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've got two other books that were with mainstream publishers, Wake Up America and Be a Light. This is my third, very mm-hmm. personal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go, your listeners can go to my name, Anne Marie Hancock, or the title of the book, You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral,
mm-hmm.
Amazon.com, and all the reviews are there and how to purchase the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's available at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, on Amazon, Google, all the places.
All the usual suspects.
All mm-hmm. the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. I have loved talking with you. You're terrific.
This has been a lot of fun. I would love to talk to you about your time in Hollywood at some point. I would love to get on that. And maybe we can at some other point. But Anne-Marie, this has been fun talking to you. I wish you all the best. And thanks for taking some time out here. Best to you in Virginia.
Thank you so much, Ken. Best to you as well. Okay. And I look forward to talking with you again.